name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're celebrating today and tomorrow the conception of St. John the Baptist. And there are various nuances in the Scripture that you have to be very careful to read. If you read the Scripture, every word means something. And you might miss this if you don't go over it again and again, or have it taught to you, or read about it, as I probably did. I probably didn't come up with this all on my own, because I read the Fathers and such, and I hear good sermons. So there's a difference in how the reception of the news was about the Theotokos bearing Christ and about Elizabeth and Zacharias having John the Baptist. There's a big difference. Now, of course, one difference is, of course, the Theotokos was told of the conception and Joseph was totally ignorant. And Zacharias was told of the upcoming conception, which occurred later, not at that moment, obviously, because it wouldn't be possible. And we don't know at some point she conceived. But those are superficial differences. The real difference is how they received the news. Zacharias, when he heard the news that they would have a son, he didn't believe it. He was an old man. His wife was an old woman, well past menopause. He knew that it was impossible for her to bear a child, although he knew the Scripture, he should have known about Abraham and such, or should have remembered. And so he said, "By what sign shall I know this?" He was looking for proof. He was looking for the angel to tell him something that he could look for, that if it came true, that he knew that this would happen, like a star in the sky or something, as a sign that showed his unbelief. And because of his unbelief, the angel said, "You'll be struck dumb. You won't be able to talk until he's born." And he told him the name of the boy would be John. Now contrast this to what the Theotokos did. She was a virgin, not only a virgin, but a virgin who had promised her virginity to God. And she planned on and believed that God had granted her that she could be a virgin for all of her life. Now this is very exceptional. Even among the apostles, I believe there were only counting there would be Andrew and there would be John. I believe there were only two virgins. Could be wrong about that. I don't think there's a third. James was a virgin, but he was of the 70, not of the 12. That is James, the brother of the Lord. But the vast majority of the apostles and those who became preachers and teachers that Jesus Christ had taught, they were married, including the Apostle Peter. It was exceptional to be unmarried. It was exceptional to be a virgin. And the Theotokos, because of her love of God, had asked this favor. So she believed that she would be a virgin. And yet then she has an angel come to her and say, "Thou wilt bear a child." She says, "How shall this be? Not by what sign shall I know this?" But let's be honest, even though she was holy, she was a 14 or 15-year-old girl. Aren't they curious? Wouldn't you be curious? "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" It's not a sin to be curious. It's not a sin to ask a question. So she asked that question, how shall this be? And then, of course, Gabriel answered her by saying, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and thou shalt bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, and he shall save people from their sins." And then when she said, "Let it be done according to the slave of the Lord." We don't say handmaid around here. We're going to say what the word is. Slave of the Lord. She considered herself a slave of the Lord, as you and I also should as well. So let it be done according to me as the slave of the Lord. Although handmaid's a prettier word, I suppose. But the actual word is doulos, slave. So at that point, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, as Gabriel had promised would happen, and she bore, she didn't bear, but she became pregnant with the God-man Jesus Christ. At that point, she held divinity and humanity in one person, two natures in her womb from the very beginning. But she showed no doubt about this. She also, by the way, wasn't afraid when the angel came to her. There's no mention of her being startled or afraid. This was not an exceptional occurrence for the Theotokos to have an angel come to her. She saw angels all the time. Now, we know some of a story. Maybe some of you don't know it. I'll repeat it quickly. Of course, Joachim and Anna were childless, And it was promised to them that they would have a child, and they devoted this child to God. They promised this child to God. So when Mary was three, she was brought to the temple. She walked up the stairs of the temple, and guess who was there? Zacharias. Zacharias, by the Holy Spirit, led her to the Holy of Holies. She went into the Holy of Holies, which was exceptional. Nobody did that except one day of the year. And she did that then many times during her time in the temple as one of the temple virgins that would take care of things and pray and would clean things, etc. And she would pray often in the Holy of Holies. And when she was in the Holy of Holies, she would see angels. I'm sure she saw angels in many other places. So when an angel appeared to her, it was not exceptional to her. She wasn't afraid. But look at what Zacharias, he was afraid. He's startled in fear. He'd never seen an angel before. I have a feeling that if any one of us were to see an angel in a humble frame of mind, we would be afraid. In fact, I would tell you this. If you don't see an angel and you don't startle in fear, then you should consider it to be a devil. And certainly if you feel any great feelings of holiness or anything like that, you should definitely perceive it to be a devil. I guarantee you, if it's an angel, he will get the point across. But if it's a devil, he will laugh at you, and then he will delude you into believing that he is someone he is not. I don't know why I want to tell you this story, but it's an interesting one to me. The devil tries to mimic holiness, but he can't do it perfectly. It's like counterfeiters that can't quite make a perfect $100 bill, especially with all the technology in it these days. It's very hard to make a perfect $100 counterfeit bill. Impossible for the devil to perfectly mimic holiness. We have an icon there of Saint Spiridon. Everybody knows who Saint Spiridon looks like. He's got this little, I always called it a beehive. It looks like a beehive, like on his head, right? Little matte hat. And everybody knows what it looks like. It's close fitting to his head. Every icon of Saint Spiridon has that. Well, there was a monk who had fallen into Prelest. He wanted to go alone and pray, and his spiritual father wouldn't let him do it, but he did it anyway. So he went up, I think it was on Mount Athos, which is the peak on Mount Athos. There's actually a mountain, Mount Athos, on Mount Athos. And he went to the top and he prayed as an anchorite, and he thought he had all kinds of holiness going on. And he was being deluded by the devil who was speaking to him and telling him terrible things that made him think that he was holy. He was told that he could fly because he was set free from his sins. And St. Spiridon appeared to him and told him this. And he was about to literally walk off the precipice because St. Spiridon said, you can do this just like me. But then something made him stop. And what made him stop was that St. Spiridon had a very tall hat. In Texas, they have prayer hair, you know, really high hair. That's what we said when we were kids, you know. The real high beehive hair, right? And the mascara going down their face when they're crying, when they're looking at the camera. Well, the fake Saint Spiridon had a big old hat that couldn't be Saint Spiridon. It was a false Saint Spiridon. It was a demon appearing as Saint Spiridon. And the man somehow came to his senses. Still had a lot of troubles and difficulties, but he came to his repentance after that. So Satan tries to mimic, but he cannot perfectly mimic. So if you see an angel, you say, no, sir, I don't deserve any angels. It's not me that gets to see an angel. It must be a devil, and I'm going to make the sign of the cross, and I'm going to say I'm unworthy. And maybe if it's a obstinate devil, maybe your sign of the cross is not that strong. He might stick around a little bit, make it several more times. Don't believe it. Don't believe that it's an angel. I tell you, if an angel wants you to know he's there, he will find a way to make you know it. But don't believe it in the beginning. So Zacharias saw this angel and was very, very afraid. Theotokos was not afraid. We can see the difference of the inner life of the Theotokos versus Zacharias, who, by the way, was a holy man. He was a very holy man. And yet, when he saw an angel, he was afraid, and he couldn't believe the impossible. He couldn't believe that, oh, yes, of course, my wife's going to have a baby now. But he must have had some belief, right? Because if his wife was past the age of bearing, they might have stopped having sexual relations because they figured it's no good anymore. Well, obviously they did because of belief, right? But it was belief that was a little late coming for him to be able to keep his voice. And by the way, the name John, it was not a name in the family. So that really demonstrates also a big break from things. that John means grace. So grace is coming, right? He's the herald of grace, right? So the name has changed. It's not a name that's in the family. All these things mean something. But we should really learn from the way that these two reacted to this news that was seemingly impossible. One with disbelief, looking for a sign, and one with belief, but just looking for an explanation. If you want an explanation, you can ask for it, but don't demand it. Don't require it. Most of the things that happen in life, we don't understand. But don't ever look for a sign. Don't ever look for a sign. Although I will tell you, one time someone looked for a sign, I'm very glad she did. There was one time at Daniel's funeral that a woman was really, she loved him very much. They were very dear friends. She was very distraught. She wasn't Orthodox. So literally, as we're putting the coffin together, as we're putting the top on the coffin, my son Tim did all of the nails or the dowels. They were dowels that we put in. There wasn't a nail in the whole coffin. He did all of them except one. So I'm standing basically on Daniel's right side, okay? The top right side. So he's facing east, and I would be on his right side by his ear. And I was not nailing the last one in. And I remember I went, bup, 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 bup. You know how you usually, when you nail something, you do it with some sort of rhythm, just we do for some reason? So I nailed with a rhythm. And as soon as I went, bup, this icon behind me, the heroine of hell, right there, it fell to the floor. Now, it was right here. There was the icon. There was the oil lamp. There was a gigantic palm tree, you know, a potted plant. So it fell all the way out here. Now you tell me how icons do that, right? If you know anything about physics, it wouldn't do that, right? It would come off the nail, probably hit, we had a different iconostasis then, but it would come off the nail and it would fall flat down. It would hit the holder or the lamp or something, but it didn't. It came out and down. And actually there were people who witnessed this happen. But Ramsey had, very sheepishly, said, "Oh Lord, I know that I shouldn't be asking this, but just give me a sign that he's okay." And so the Lord answered that prayer. Yes, could you make one of those pictures on that wall fall, okay? She didn't get the terminology right, right? What does it matter? God gave her a consolation and gave us a great consolation as well. So, I don't recommend that you ask for a sign, but I'm happy she did, but it's good. It wouldn't be good if I had asked for a sign, but Ramsey asked for a sign. So don't ask for signs. Believe God. Don't look for God to always be giving you all this information so that you can say this is the right path. Love your enemy. Pray for everyone. Fast. Pray. Come to church. Humble yourself. God will give you all the signs you need, but they'll be in your heart. That's why the Theotokos wasn't afraid, because God was in her heart. That's why. And Zechariah, we wouldn't say that God was not in his heart, but he still had passions, and he couldn't believe. So we should try to be more like the Theotokos than Zechariah. And may God help us to do that. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.